and a supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick, and healed, and made well, and afflicted, and sat upon the throne, and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear friend, ladies and gentlemen, Salamun Alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. And today we're going to speak about extravagance in the view of Islam.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please leave you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so. I love you so.
Today, Tuesday, is the 14th of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 24th of Khordad 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar and the 14th of June 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Ash-Shu'ara, verses 151 to 154.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تطيعوا أمر المسرفين.
And do not obey the order of the transgressors.
الذين يفسدون في الأرض ولا يصلحون.
Who cause corruption in the land and do not amend.
قالوا إنما أنت من المسحرين.
They said, "You are only of those affected by magic."
ما أنت إلا بشر مثلنا فأت بآية إن كنت من الصادقين.
You are but a man like ourselves, so bring a sign if you should be of the truthful.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Of course, we know that extravagance is the same as exceeding the limits of law, the law of creation, and the law of religion. This is also clear for all that in a correct system, any exceeding the limit causes corruption and destruction. And in other words, the origin of corruption is extravagance, and the consequence of extravagance is mischief. Of course, it should be noted that extravagance has a vast meaning. Sometimes it is used in simple issues like eating and drinking. Sometimes it is in expensive and too much remittal. Sometimes it is in judgment and judiciary arbitration, which leads to falsehood.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
In this episode, we look at extravagance in the view of Islam. Islam, the complete way of life, teaches us not to be extravagant, but to be frugal in spending our wealth. Thus, the basic parameter for the utilization of resources and spending is moderation in consumption and spending that avoids both extremes of niggardliness and profligacy. When one is issuing his sustenance with frugality, this would reflect his inner gratitude because of which Allah will bestow his blessings or barakah on his servant. Our Creator wants three things as a price in return for his bounties. They are remembrance of him, thankfulness to him, and reflection upon the blessings he has given to each human being.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bi-nasta'in.
In this episode, we are going to talk about extravagance. We find that not only on individual or family level, but also on the, national or governmental level, we find that everybody, right from ordinary, right from individuals, common people, up to, nation-level managers, we find that everybody should be very careful where an income may be obtained. Okay, the income shouldn't come from, forbidden ways, because an income obtained from a forbidden way usually doesn't last long and is naturally spoiled or goes with the wind. According to this kind of instruction, we find that one of the important aspects is that in all Islamic, in all books on Islamic economics, it's indicated that one of the markers of Islamic economics is that poverty cannot be seen in those communities. So long as poverty and starvation can be seen and can be observed, can be found, it's an indication that extravagance is still practiced in that community. Because if extravagance is forbidden, isn't practiced, at that time we find that almost all people may attain the economic rights, and their rights and shares out of the economic situation. And yet we find that according to Islamic instructions, people are invited not to spoil the money, not to spend the money on things not necessary, or not things not that essential. We find that, even in our daily lives, we've noticed that some people who are extravagant in the economic behavior, very much they get entangled in very severe economic hardship, and they may be hard up with money, in effect of spoiling their money when they were in comfort.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
And the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The harms of israf, extravagance for the individual. The first harm, a decrease in blessings. Israf causes the blessings to decrease in one's life and to eventually die out completely. Israf comes hand in hand with a decrease in the blessings. Being deprived of guidance. This is another harm. God tells the doers of Israf, verily God does not guide the doers of Israf and the liars. The third harm is poverty. The most important economic aspect of israf is that of poverty. This is because israf involves the waste of limited resources and thus naturally becomes a threat to human life. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has stated that israf causes destruction, while moderation is the means for the increase of wealth. I think it's a good idea to look at the tips to avoid extravagance. Here comes the first trap: sale, discount, buy two, get one free. Now, even if you need one item only, just to avail a chance, you will pay for two items to get one free. Wherever someone sail, I bet no matter how much modest and thrifty she is or he is, she or he would spend more than routine. I'm not saying you must not avail discount offers, but be careful about the stuff over there too. Make the most of your clothes and other fashion accessories rather than buying more unnecessarily. Islam doesn't forbid you from being trendy or looking good as far as it's in certain limits. Follow the trends, but keep in mind your hijab and budget.
So there are two elements in wastage. One is israf, over, you know, spending or overusing, and the other is tabdhir. And in both, basically, you know, Islam and especially the Quran uses strong terms for that. Because when you are talking about especially tabdhir, this is where you are creating a situation where not knowing, you bring about poverty, either to yourself or others. Amir al-Mu'mineen, in one of his statements, says, "Sabab al-faqr al-israf." One of the reasons of poverty is israf. And he, interestingly, you know, described three signs of somebody who is guilty of committing israf. Number one, he says, "Ya'kulu ma laysa lahu." He eats what doesn't belong to him. "Yashtari ma laysa lahu." He buys things not from his own money. وَيَلْبِسُ مَا لَيْسَ لَهُ. And wears things which are not his. This very much applies to people who live their life on credit cards. The American, you know, dream. It's not important how much I earn. It's not an issue of living within the means. You know, the temptation is there. I have something which is working very well. Even if I don't want it, constantly I get calls. Flyers come in, new and improved. And then, you know, well, we say, maybe it's expensive. And then we say, well, we have the credit card. We'll pay it off. This is where we have to realize that even using credit card, you know, in a wrong way is a problem. When we are going beyond our means, this is where the issue of israf comes in.
That was all from today's special. And for this episode, we spoke about extravagance. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought. Thank you.
Hello everyone, and here is a brief but bright statement from Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Riza, peace be upon him. Fear the believer's insight, for in seeing things he is assisted by the light of Allah.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble hadith and tradition regarding the term jama'at. Jama'at, the congregation. You know, there's a lot of terms, Islamic terms that we use, you know, all of us use. But which a lot of us aren't really aware of the true meaning of. And, you know, fortunately, a lot of these terms have been interpreted by the Prophet himself, and also by his successors, the holy imams, alayhimus salam. So the Prophet was asked, who are the congregation of your community? Ma jama'atu ummatik. The Prophet replied, those who are with the truth, even if they are but 10 people. So if there's a group of people who are with the truth and who are under the banner of truth and have come together under the banner of truth, even if they are a small group of people, this can be considered a jama'at. In a similar tradition, which is also very general in terms of its benefit, Imam Ali alayhi salam was asked to explain the terms sunnat, innovation, bid'at, congregation, jama'at, and division or furqa. So Imam Ali alayhi salam said the following, by Allah, the sunnat is the tradition of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Innovation is anything that deviates from it. So this hadith is interesting. It explains each subsequent term by means of the previous one. Sunnat is the tradition of the Prophet. And bid'at or innovation is anything that deviates from the sunnat. The congregation is the gathering of people who are with the truth, even if they are few in number, right? And division, conversely, is the dissension of people who are with falsehood, even if they be many in number. So this is probably allusion to the fact that if people come together under the banner of falsehood, in fact, they are divided. They're not really together and congregated. They don't really have a true unity. And this is kind of something that's kind of alluded to in some of the verses of the Holy Quran. In one verse of the Holy Quran, God Almighty describes the hearts of the disbelievers as being separate, disunited. Qulubuhum shatta, right? So even if they're many in number, but they don't have faith, right? They're under the banner of falsehood, they will be disunited. But if there's a group of believers who have come together and are under the banner of truth, we can consider them as a jama'at and as having unity and being one. Right? And they will be, as the Quran says, able to overcome these people who may be many, but who are disunited and who are under the banner of falsehood. Right, so this is the interpretation of these four terms. Sunnat, the practice of the Prophet. Bid'at, the swerving away from this practice. Jama'at, the gathering of people who are with the truth. And firqat, or disunity, the gathering of together of people under the banner of falsehood. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the meaning of the term jama'at in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آل محمد.
Salaam alaikum and welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all, respected brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for joining us. Here we are again with four of our students from Sevier International School. Now we have three levels of qalqala or bouncing sound: the weak, the normal one, strong one, and the strongest one. So three levels we have. Okay.
Yes.
You remember I told you that in originally the letter has sukun. Sometimes it doesn't have sukun. We
pause.
Change it. It's harakat to sukun. How? For example, help. Yeah?
Yes.
It has a tashdeed, yes?
Yes.
Hajj. It's stronger, yes, than the other ones. Wadab. So when the letter itself has sukun, its sukun is original sukun. Like what? Like wal'adiyati dhabaha. Yeah? Dhabaha. Quickly,
yes.
you just go, okay? Just make a bouncing sound and leave and go. Continue. So that's weak one.
Yes.
Okay. Who can recite Surah Al-Kawthar? Hussain Ruhullah, can you recite it?
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Inna shani'aka huwal abtar.
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 Ba'i Sakin. Originally it has the sukun, okay? Mm-hmm. So it means in this case the qalqala is applied but
weak
one.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna a'tainakal kawthar. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar.
Weak one, we mean that it has the bouncing sound.
But weak bouncing
yeah,
sound.
Yeah, related in comparing to the other ones, okay, it is weak. But it has that bouncing sound. So, the next one, remember this, okay? It's weak when the sukun is original. Okay? Next one. If we make a pause or stop at a word ending with one of these letters, like قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, so it is strong but normally strong, okay? It is strong but normally strong, okay? So when the sukun is not original. So now Hussein Musa, can you recite now قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, this surah, Suratul Falaq, and let's see how do you make a strong or normally strong sound, bouncing sound.
Yes.
Okay.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أحسنت.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
ما شاء الله.
قل أعوذ برب الفلق.
أحسنت.
من شر ما خلق. ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب.
أحسنت.
ومن شر النفاثات في العقد. ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد.
أحسن.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
That was so nice. That was so nice. Allah bless you, inshallah. So, قل أعوذ برب الفلق. Right? قانو. If you say قا, it becomes فتحة. Look, it is different. قل أعوذ برب الفلق. Now I make a فتحة sound. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقَ. That's clear.
That's yes. Wrong.
That's wrong. This one is wrong. Yes? It doesn't have fatha.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقَ. So everyone repeat after me. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقَ.
قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقَ.
Let's read again. So let's recite this surah together, okay? Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
قل أعوذ برب الفلق
قل أعوذ برب الفلق
من شر ما خلق
من شر ما خلق
ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب
ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب
ومن شر النفاثات في العقد
ومن شر النفاثات في العقد
I heard someone saying نفاثات Fix it this time ومن شر النفاثات في العقد
ومن شر النفاثات في العقد
ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد
ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد
Someone said إذا Fix it this time ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد
ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد
أحسن ما شاء الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد
So, Alhamdulillah, you finished this. Now, the strong one, okay? The strong, or I mean the strongest qalqala level is when the letter has a tashdeed. Okay, the Qutbijat letters, one of these letters, has a tashdeed and you make a pause.
فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
Question. If the تشديد word is at the end,
does
it make a difference?
Yeah. So when you make a pause, it becomes clear, okay, here. When you make a pause at the word that ends with one of the Qutbijat letters and has a تشديد. Because if you do not make a pause there, you continue. So the tashdeed, the letter that has tashdeed, the first letter is sakin. The second letter has harakat. For example, you say, wal hajj, hajj. Here you make a pause, you apply the qalqala. But the strongest qalqala, okay? But if you continue, you make that qalqala, but the weak one, okay? Because the first jim is sakin. The second jim has kasra fatha dhamma. So you say this way. It has kasra here, okay? والحج Look, I made the قلقل سام. والحج حج
So we make it weaker if you pronounce it with the next ayah.
Yeah, yeah. If you continue reciting, okay, you're connecting it. So the there you apply the weak قلقل sound, okay, bouncing sound. But if you make a pause there, because when you make a pause there, okay, the first letter is ساكن. The second letter as well... Changes the harakah changes to sukun, so two letters become sakin. Here, that's why it's the strongest one. Two qalqala. Okay, here you have to apply.
Yes.
So go to Suratul Masad, everyone. So we are in Suratul Masad now. Inshallah, let's practice this. It ends with like ba, dal. We have a lot. Okay, here. So inshallah, we'll practice the qalqala here. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب
تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب
أحسن وتب that was nice تبت again we have look Fawad we have تب The ba has tashdeed here. But since you connect it to the next letter or you continue reciting, so you do not make a strong one. But in watab, you make that a strong one. Here as well, the ba has
tashdeed. Tashdeed.
Alhamdulillah, what nice example we have here, okay? So in tab, tababat, you don't say tababat, no. Even it's wrong, okay? Why? Because it has tashdeed, the first one has sukun, so you do not say tababat.
Yes.
Okay. Tabbat, tab, you don't say tab, no. Tabbat, tabbat, yada abi lahabi watab, watab. Okay, recite it. Okay, now repeat after me. تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب
تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب
أحسن ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب
ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب
سيصلى نارا ذات لهب
سيصلى نارا ذات لهب
وامرأته حمالة الحطب
وامرأته حمالة الحطب.
You gotta repeat it because ra has like fatha, so it must be elevated, the sound, okay? The sound must be elevated. وامرأته حمالة الحطب
وامرأته حمالة الحطب
في جيدها حبل من مسد
في جيدها حبل من مسد
أحسن ما شاء الله الحمد لله you learned it. So إن شاء الله in the next session, we will talk about, after taking a break, inshallah, we'll talk about the next very important rule. And that's all about, okay, qalqala. It was easy. Just remember, sometimes you make a strong qalqala sound, sometimes a normal one, sometimes a weak one, okay? So, inshallah, practice it, respected brothers and sisters, if you had any problem. So, listen to this audio time and again, this session, okay? Inshallah, you will learn it. You will master it. So thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools Network. After taking a break, inshallah, we'll be back. Let's recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned. Allahumma faqbal udhri warham shiddat dhurri wa fukkani min shidd wa thaqi ya rabb irham dha'f badani wa riqqat jildi wa diqqat 'azmi ya man bada'a khalqi wa dhikri wa tarbiyati wa birri wa taghdiyati. Brothers and sisters, this part of the divine Kumail supplication was under discussion. يَمَنْ بَدَأَ خَلْقِي وَذِكْرِي وَتَرْبِيَتِي وَبِرِّي وَتَغْذِيَتِي. O you who raised in my creation, to the remembrance of me, to the nurture of me, to the goodness toward me, and to the nourishment of me. هَبْنِي لِبْتِدَاءِ كَرَمِكَ. Bestow upon me, for the sake of you having given rise to me with generosity. وَسَالِفِ بِرِّكَ بِي. And your previous goodness to me. We said earlier that in this part of the supplication, the supplicant is feeling that he is at the presence of the beloved. He deservingly feels that that the doors of Allah's mercy have opened for him. And he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is ready to hear the servant's prayer. So the servant starts asking, Allahumma faqbal udhri warham shiddata dhurri. O Allah, accept my excuse, have mercy upon the severity of my affliction. Habni libtida'i karamik. Bestow upon me because you have been generous to me, because of your previous goodness to me. Wasalifi birrikabi. Now, in the previous episode, we started discussing another aspect of prayer, which is the reality of supplication and dua that we can see in this divine Kumail supplication. Regarding need and its realization and its presentation before the Almighty Allah, we said that the true supplicant, first he realizes that he is indigent and destitute, then he presents the needs before the Almighty Allah. This ontological need and faqr toward Allah inherently attracts the mercy of Allah, even before the one becomes aware of it, even before the supplicant raises it toward Allah. The example of need is that of a low and soft land which naturally attracts water and somehow absorbs it. And on the contrary, the parable of disdain for worshipping Allah is that of a high and solid land which does not accept water. Such are the people who are disdainful of Allah's worship and of calling upon Him in repelling the mercy of Allah. Accordingly, He subhanahu wa ta'ala deprives them of it, even though His mercy embraces the heavens and the earth. So what we are trying to say is that there is an ontological relation between indigence and the mercy of Allah. Each of the two seeks the other and somehow pursues it. The need toward Allah is in pursuit of Allah's mercy, and the mercy of Allah seeks the object of need and indigence.
Oh Allah, accept my apology and have pity on my intense sufferings and set me free from my heavy fetters. My nourisher, have mercy on the weakness of my body, the delicacy of my skin and the brittleness of my bones.
O He who originated my creation and accorded me my individuality and ensured my upbringing and welfare and provided my sustenance, I beg you to restore your favors and blessings upon me as you did in the beginning of my life.
Thank you, Allah, God, let me hear, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So what we said earlier on about the relationship of faqr and indigence and the attraction of Almighty Allah's mercy is exactly similar to the relation that exists between the weakness and neediness of a baby and the love and affection of a mother. Each of the two seeks the other. The feebleness of the infant seeks the affection of the mother, whilst the affection and sympathy of the mother are in pursuit of the weakness of the infant. So, she always takes care of her. So, in the existence, it is similar to a learned man who is in search of an ignorant, a physician who seeks the sick to cure him, and the strong that always searches for the weak in order to support him. In brief, this is the norm and sunnah of Allah, which is functioning in everything. As Shaykh Baha'i has narrated, we should be like the man named Toba, who was always estimating his own deeds. When he was 60, he counted all days of his life, which was 21,500 days. So he said, "Woe on me, if I have not done but one sin every day, I have done at least 21,500 sins until now. Am I to visit my Lord in such a sinful state?" So he cried loudly. He fell down to the ground and died. "My Lord, everything I am your creature. I'm under your dominance. We are under your will. We are under your intention. We have no escape. O Lord, you have created us from the soil. You have had regard for us while we were nothing worthy of note. And then you trained us. You had mercy and you had blessings on us. Now we have come to your presence, weeping, broken, humble, and we are asking you to forgive us because of your previous goodness and generosity toward us. Habni libtida'i karamik wa salifi birrikabi." Thank you for staying with us, brothers and sisters. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes. comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of the Charter of Islamic Governance based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently taking inspiration from the 16th sermon, where Imam Ali alayhi salam gives his governance program. And we reach this phrase where Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about piety, and he says that those communities that have learnt the lessons from the past and are able to reflect those lessons in their present day life, they will be such that they will have piety in them, and that piety will stop them from, entering into doubtful areas and confusing areas, and they will rather always be stuck to the right direction and the right path. So we're talking about piety, and we say that piety is not just, sitting with a rosary and remembering God in the apparent sense and just praying or fasting and things like that, which are very important in their own sense, in their own right, but they have to be accompanied with the actual piety. And that actual piety, as we said in the previous session, is to be careful, to be sensitive, to be accurate, to have that kind of seriousness. And that is actually one dimension of piety.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to IRIB English Radio. We were talking about one-dimensional